Dean Yoder, our speaker today, refers to Hebrews. Grace flows when we love our God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves.
This is Awaken Online, a virtual library of the Sunday morning messages at Awaken Church in McMinnville, Oregon.
Jesus, thank you for coming into this place. Thank you for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would open our hearts and ears to hear more from you, to receive more from you, that you will be the loudest voice in our heads this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk from Hebrews 12, 14 through 17 this morning. So you're welcome to go there with us. I think this one is the NIV section. They'll have it up on the screen too. They ask for a title for our messages a lot of times, and I don't know if anybody that speaks usually comes up with a title in the beginning. Maybe they do, but sometimes they do. Now that they ask, I kind of think about it a little bit. But you know, I came in this morning. She says, "What's your title?" That's what the projection people want to. What's your title? I'm like, I don't know. And then I said, living from values is what I said. Now that comes out okay. And then I was like, oh, I got a better idea. I said, how about living from values for virtue? And like, I thought that sounded like a good title. And then I tried to say it a couple times and it was like a tongue twister. Living from values, you know, just did not come out well at all. But that's kind of the gist. So if I don't say it again like that, it's because I don't want to sound all tongue-twisted. But that's the gist this morning, is that what if we were able to not fall over a chair while you're standing up here? What if we were able to clarify God's vision and values and purposes and his plan to live a virtuous life, instead of just always kind of going back to what is sin and what is not sin? That's like one of the biggest questions. Is this a sin? Is that a sin? Is this a sin? Is that? And honestly, I don't know, that's kind of like when your kids, and I might repeat this later, but it's kind of like when your kids come to you and they want to know why. And you say something like, because I said so. I don't know how that's worked for you in the past. Because I said so hasn't made tons of correction over the years. But what if we could give, instill into not the world, but those around us, our families, the people as a body of Christ, values that teach us how to learn to protect special things that God has given us. So that's my hope this morning, is that like that I could start thinking that way, that I could maybe start just saying, do as I say, or because I said so, or because it's sin, which, you know, sometimes it's like, if like we understand that, like sin isn't like a deal breaker for anytime we sin, we're not just automatically, oh, you're not going to heaven now. You know, but we understand that all have fallen short of the glory of God. But sometimes when people aren't familiar with the grace of God, the love of God, that, you know, that's a real scary thing for them when you tell them what they're doing is sin. You know, it's like, oh, well, I'm a bad person now. Anyhow, getting a little ahead of myself, but Hebrews 12 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless, like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Now, If I was going to like sum up these four verses, just real quickly, if I was going to sum it up in one sentence, I would say something like this. Grace flows when we love God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. Grace flows when we love our God, love our neighbors, and love ourselves. I don't know if you remember the story of Esau. We talked about it, Jacob and Esau, a few weeks ago. We talked a little bit about that. And just a little bit of like a recap. Esau sold his birthright. He was the firstborn from Isaac. And there was his twin brother, Jacob, was the secondborn. But the firstborn always got the birthright. And he had been out hunting and got really hungry. Now, his brother Jacob was good at cooking, and he was so hungry that he asked if he could eat the food that Jacob had made, or he asked Jacob to make food for him, and Jacob said, "If you give me the birthright." So Esau said, "Yes." Esau says something like this. He said, "Look, I'm about to die," and this is Genesis 25. Look, I'm about to die, so of what use then is this birthright to me?" That's what he said. "I'm so hungry, I am starving to death, and you're a really good cook. You can have my birthright because, if I don't eat, I'm going to die." That's what he's saying. The deal, though, was that the birthright wasn't his yet to give away. See, the birthright gets passed to you when the father decides the birthright gets passed to you. And usually it's when the father is close to death. And they pass this birthright on, these blessings, the family inheritance, the family heritage, even. It's this birthright. Now, once the birthright would be given to you, then it was yours to do what you wanted to. But Esau gave in to his appetite and gave away something that wasn't quite yet his to give away. He didn't value it. So now the problem isn't that Esau ate food because he was hungry. The problem was that he let his physical desires dismiss his future promises. He let his physical desires dismiss his future promises. And then when it happened, it says in the story that Esau got angry and bitter and rebellious. Hebrews that we just read refers to Esau as godless. And I say he is godless with disregard for his birthright. He was godless, meaning he was faithless. He had kind of treaded on hallowed ground. He had no regard or disregarded. And he had no regard for the honor that had been bestowed upon him as the firstborn. Esau let his appetite manage him, and it cost him. So we're kind of back to that question, why. Over the years, I've heard people ask the question, why, about things. Why is this a sin? Is this a sin? And a lot of times, our best answer is, because it's sin. You know, because it's sin. It's like just pretty close to like, just do as I say, right? Or sometimes our answer, and these aren't bad answers necessarily, because the Bible says so. And that answer works for some, but that doesn't always work for others. Like for me, if somebody said, "This is sin because the Bible said so," I'd go look at the Bible and try to make a determination. But for other people who may not be in the faith or completely understands how we are to be grounded in Scripture, that might not do it for them. That might not like actually take them to the next step to find out What's wrong with this? This type, it's kind of this type of, so I'm getting to these kind of questions. So if God gave me a desire, how come I have to wait? It's natural. Why should I not eat when I'm hungry? The answer to why you shouldn't eat when you're hungry is when it's going to cost you something that you've been promised by God, something that God has honored you with you, something that God has entrusted with you to protect and not to casually give it away. That's when it's wrong to eat when you're hungry, is when you trade something that you're not supposed to trade for. You give something away. I don't know if you've considered this at times, but what appears to be limitations imposed by God on us may be actually designed to teach us to know how to protect, to know how to honor, and to know how to value our lives and other lives and relationships with the Father himself. Let's go back to Hebrews. Verse 15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of grace, of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Now, we all know that this verse is true from Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what about grace? I had never thought about that when I'm sure I've read this verse before. All may have fallen short of the glory of God, but all don't have to fall short of the grace of God. In fact, we are all saved by grace. And the writer of Hebrews wants to make every effort for us to pursue peace with everyone and to be holy. And that's to make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. They're asking us to be at peace with one another, asking us to seek out the process of transformation into the likeness of Christ. That comes only by the grace of God. They're asking us to desire to pursue that, because without holiness, no one will see God. I don't know if that means, I think it means that without that, I won't see God, but I don't know if that also means without that, will anybody else see God through me? I don't know. It's a thought. What could cause someone to fall short of the grace of God? Well, I think there's a little bit of an answer there. Bitterness. Bitterness can cause you and others to fall short of the grace of God. In Genesis 27, back to Esau, when Esau heard, this is what it says in verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me as well, my father." But there wasn't a blessing for him left. He was bitter. He cried out with a great and bitter cry. "I want the blessing. I want a blessing too. Do you know that Jacob kind of tricked me into this? Do you know that his mom kind of helped trick him into this? You've been tricked, Dad. Give me a blessing." But it wasn't there. It had already been given to his younger brother. Esau was bitter. He was bitter towards his brother. He was bitter towards his parents. And Esau's bitterness kind of puts a poison in the whole family. Esau plans to kill his brother, Jacob, and so her mother intervenes for Jacob and sends him away. Jacob's now afraid of his brother. He avoids him for years. Esau is bitter towards his parents, and he demonstrates that by spitefully marrying into a foreign group of people that they had not wanted him to marry into. At least that's kind of how I see it. Back to verse 17 in Hebrews, it says, "Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done." Esau is bitter towards others, but he also probably has to be a little bitter towards himself. You know, the sin that's against ourselves are the hardest kind to get over. Not only does it cause us to move away from God, but it follows us wherever we go. You can offend me, you can hurt me, and I can disconnect and I can walk away, and maybe that doesn't follow me all the time. But when I am mad and angry at myself for something I did, it's there every day. You might not notice it, but it's buried. It's deep inside. And that bitterness is a root that can grow up and cause us and others to not experience the grace of God. So like I said, I'm not trying to just highlight sin this morning. I want us to see if we can live from values instead of rules. Because there's this old saying that says rules were made to be broken. But when we can instill a value for something, we can protect it with our life, or we will protect it with our life. The world wants us to believe that you should do whatever we feel, whatever feels right, right? Nike says, just do it. I don't know what it is, but do it. Modelo says, stay thirsty, I think. Is that Modelo, or is that, maybe that's another one. I don't know. I just thought of that. That might not be the right commercial. Sprite says, obey your thirst, right? Obey it at all cost. Obey your thirst. And there's that old saying that says, if it feels good, do it. And a lot of times, that's okay. But not if it violates a value. Not if it causes us to fall short of grace. When we have values, we have something to protect. See, verse 16 reads, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. This sentence parallels sexual immorality with Esau selling his birthright. We've already kind of dug into Esau a little bit and how he gave away something that wasn't his to give away yet because of his physical need. And I think the writer included sexual immorality in this passage because it's a similar story. I know that there's all kinds of sexual immorality in the Bible. There's a whole list that falls underneath this. But this one specifically means don't engage in prostitution. Don't buy it and don't sell it. Don't give yourself away for a price. See, God gives us a desire and ability, and the desire and the ability are supposed to create value for something incredible. It's not just something, the desire is not just there so that you can do something with it. It's supposed to build a value for something. I don't know, like one of my favorite things is, I don't have a lot of guns, right? An old guy told me once, be careful of the person who owns one gun. He probably knows how to use it. So one of my favorite things that I have is a gun, and it cost me. And over the years, I've done different things to it, and I have a value for it, and I put it in a safe to protect it because it's mine, and I have value for it. I see value in it. And like, if I didn't like guns that much, it wouldn't be that valuable to me. But I like to hunt. I like to use it. I have a purpose for it. I have a purpose to use it at the right time and the right place. And it creates this value that I want to protect. I don't want to do anything to mess up being able to use that. When God gives you a bride, when you say, this is the person I'm going to be with the rest of my life, and I know that doesn't always work out, I get that. The hope is to be able to tell your bride that I've been protecting and saving something for you. It's part of my birthright. It's a blessing that God has given to fulfill the God's call on us as human beings, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and fulfill each other. I think it's a powerful statement to the enemy when we protect something like that. Like, the world is telling us to just give it away. Just give it away. They mock, they laugh at if you haven't given it away. And I'm always leery of something that the world wants me, insists that I give away. I'm leery about things like that. I'm like, okay, is it just obey my thirst? Just do it? And like, is that okay? I got to be careful because that's not coming out of the scripture. Esau's birthright was part of Abraham and Isaac's blessing of being the father of many nations. And that's something worth fighting for despite your hunger pains. The world kind of trashes sometimes in our, I guess our, maybe not always, trashes honor, courage, and being valiant. They're kind of trashing it when they say, do whatever you want. But I know that the world's going to tell me to do whatever I feel like, and religion is going to tell me not to do anything you feel like doing, especially if it's fun. Just kind of being silly there. And I want us to learn a better way to approach the question of why or why not. I wish because I said so worked. But what if I could explain that there is a value that increases my desire to protect something instead of just to use something? Eventually, Esau and Jacob come back together. And Esau has seemed to let go of his bitterness. At some point, he realizes that although he couldn't change what he had done, he could change himself. And the great thing about grace is that once bitterness is gone, it comes in like a flood. I'm thinking of our generation out there that they say, I mean, not a lot of the generation to come is coming into church. They're not being raised in the church. That's like, I'm behind on that curve by saying that. But developing values early on in life is something simple as like buying a young man, your son or whatever, a pocket knife and putting it up on the shelf and telling him, you don't get to use this until you know how to properly control bleeding. Because we know that's the first thing I did with the pocket knife that I was given by my neighbor or my dad, I don't remember. The first thing I did was I opened it up and started using it, and I cut myself. You don't get it till you know how to do that. But it embraces like, hey, when that's right there is that is something of value. And I'm like, hey, Dad, what do I have to do to get that? What do I have to do to protect it so I can use it at the right time? Like, if I told my kids, don't lose the car when you use it. Would I need to tell them that? Don't lose the car. Why wouldn't they need to? They don't need to hear me telling, don't lose the car, because they're not going to lose the car because they have a value. I already know the value of it. It's been placed in them all through life. We've had cars all through our life. They might not completely understand it, but they know you've paid for it. They know it takes gas. They know that, you know, it's like, we're not going to just forget about the car. We're not going to lose it. And so we can teach these things to our kids, but we have to come up with better ways to do it than just saying, hey, don't do this. It's, here's why. Here is the value that God has given us for us to like deny some things in the shortcoming, and so that we learn how to protect over the years. And when I get older, I can get faced with other things, and I'm like, nope, I'm protecting the honor of my wife in this. I am not going to cross this line. I'm protecting my kids, and I'm not going to cross this line. Like, you create a value for something, and now you want to protect it. I don't know if this is making sense at all or not, but I believe, you know, I grew up with knowing right and wrong, but I didn't always get told why. And, like, the fear of punishment kept me from doing some things. But sometimes I was hungry. You know, I am not trying to, like, shake anybody's tree this morning. I'm just trying to get us to think a little bit. We've got, like I said, we've got a new generation, a next generation. We don't think we can communicate with them, but we can. We can figure stuff out.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Awaken Church, please visit our website, awakenmac.com. That's AWAKENMAC.com.